Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 143. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityan.
One second. I'm giving class, so I can hear. I'm right on the other side of the wall.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Sabalaya Kaila Gundicha Griha Samarjana Rata Yatra Darsane Pabura Nartana. First the Lord washed the temple of Gundicha very thoroughly, and everyone saw the Rathyatra festival and the Lord's dancing before the car. Omigyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Yaksurun Mulutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Vite Tanya Manobishtam Rapitam Yena Bhutale Chayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Sapadam Sikam Adadana Sinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Shrimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Lisham Janma Janmani Paragi Yud Bhakti Risham Tiyatnai Apayam Mamanadip Samandam Sipambhuya Paradhuka Dugi Sanatanastam Prabhumasrayami Pancha Kalpa Taru Drishta Vipashindhu Bhaye Dvacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Vastavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greeting from Stroudsburg, and this will probably be the last greeting from Stroudsburg, that this house will soon be sold, so the family here will be living someplace else, and I'll probably be there and give class sometimes. But it's nice to again start the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class at the home of the Bhattacharjas, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So these are Bengalis, and we are living the CC here. It's the mood there, and especially eating all the varieties of prasadam. Very important in the Bengali culture. A lot of varieties and things, and you know, those descriptions are there of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Long description of what Lord Chaitanya eat and what they said, but because this bhakti process, it's based on sangha, association. Because the process of bhakti is, it's such a wonderful process. Because when one develops attachment or love, his mind naturally sees the world in terms of service. And if you see the world in terms of service, then whatever you do puts a favorable impression in the consciousness of spiritual life. So, it's a process of developing that devotion to Krishna, and Krishna includes his energies, which include his devotees. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the character of the life force and immortality, which is love and surrender to God. What is that verse? Machita Machita Prana Bodhiyantas Parasa. Devotees are always exchanging love. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita is showing you how to live the spiritual world in this world by doing the exact same activities. The main thing is consciousness. So when you develop devotion and love for Krishna and therefore love for his devotees, you can live a spiritual and joyous life. So therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's all these descriptions of wonderful prasadam. I made this point many, many times. The reason those descriptions are there is because that's the form that love takes. When you love someone, you try to please their senses. And therefore, these descriptions of the beautiful colors and tastes, the varieties of prasadam, are the hearts of the devotees manifest for the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore, when one tastes that prasadam, he's tasting how much the devotees love Krishna. So this is the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we get to perceive that. Again, the same point I was making about the Bhagavatam, that the Bhagavatam shows you Krishna and how attractive Krishna is. It shows you how attractive loving Krishna is. And it puts within the consciousness impressions that make one attracted to pleasing Krishna, which is the consciousness that helps one transcend this world. So this is the beauty of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that you can see the character of the life force, the devotees, in eternality. You can see the spiritual position manifest in an accessible way, because it's activities that we can do right now. Punte bojiate chaiva didati pitagrinati uyam ayachi pichati. Okay, bojiate chaiva, six activities. We can perform these activities now. The exchanges between devotees, chanting and hearing about Krishna, etc. So it's very, very accessible to us. So this book is a very, very special book because it contains everything. It contains everything because it's the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you get everything. You get everything because the life and teachings, it comes after, historically it comes after, it comes after Jiva Goswami wrote the Sundarbhas, the six essays on devotional service. So within the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the dialogues that are being presented there, in Rupa Siksha, Sanatan Siksha, Ramananda Samvad, the instructions of Sanatan Goswami, the instructions to Rupa Goswami, Ramananda Samvad, comes the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And then through the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see how that philosophy is lived. And when you see how not only the philosophy is lived, but you see the heart of the devotee, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching the practice of achieving the highest. He's exemplifying the practice of how to attain what he is giving, which is spontaneous devotional service. Is that this year? So you see the heart of and the heart of the devotee is braja. So you get both. You get the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the practice of devotional service, and you get the topmost vision and sentiments of the residents of Vrindavan. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord in the form of his devotee, form of his topmost devotee, in the mood of the height of the love of the topmost devotee. And that heart of Srimati Radharani and her sentiments and what she's thinking about are presented in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you get everything. Nothing is lacking here. Nothing is lacking here. And I was just thinking, even the discussion of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what we're going to try to do today is just bring this up to date. But even the discussion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he meets Prakasananda, look how instructive they are. He meets Prakasananda Saraswati. He's in Varanasi. And somehow he's implored, because he's taking sannyas, and in that time, the Dvaita Vad Sannyas, Mayavad Sannyas was prominent. He takes sannyas for social reasons. He takes it for preaching, to gain the respect, to instruct, because to teach you need faith. So he's using the order of sannyas, which is respected, to gain faith, to instruct others in his mission. But he's traveling and he's invited by the other sannyasis, and it's just so nice, and he, in a very humble way, he sits where the people are washing their feet, and the chief Mayavad sannyasi, Prakasananda Saraswati, comes over to him, you know, and begins to talk to him, and what Chaitanya explains, the instructions he gets from his spiritual master. And it's all about Nam Kirtan. The Bhagavatam is about Nam Kirtan. The theme of the Bhagavatam is Nam Kirtan. If the basis of the Bhagavatam is what is the ultimate absolute good, what is the essence of the absolute truth, the answer is Kirtan. Hari Namani Kirtana. The essence of Chaitanya Charitamrita is also Kirtana. We see it as the practice to achieve. Lord Chaitanya is Acharya. He's showing us how to achieve the highest thing, and he's showing the process. The process is Kirtana. He's chanting in the mood of separation. And it's very interesting because we just finished the subject of Raganuga Bhakti in the Bhakti Rasamrita and the Bhakti Sandarbha. We finished that whole thing on Raganuga Bhakti. So after finishing this, then that's the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it's Krishna coming for two reasons: to fulfill the internal and external reason for Krishna's descent. Usually Vishnu comes. Vishnu is Krishna's manifestation in this world. He's the all-pervading supreme absolute truth in this world. Vishnu is from this world. But Krishna decides to come to experience and propagate spontaneous devotional service. Love which is forceful and not weakened by a sense of Aishwarya or approaching God in his opulence out of reverence. Because that type, I've always mentioned, that type of love, if you think about it, if the love is to a superior, to God, love of God, or Krishna appears in his majestic form as Narayana, that type of love, one, there's an obligation or duty, because as soon as you deal with superior, there is a certain etiquette involved. And therefore, there's something external to the heart in that relationship. There's some, there's something a little bit external to attachment, an obligation or duty. An obligation or duty is not pure love in that sense. And also, because it's superior, there's some distance. So Krishna wants to experience the more intimate love, the more spontaneous love. So he comes to exhibit his Vrindavan pastimes and to propagate spontaneous love. And he's unfulfilled in that mission. Because to fully experience love, he also has to take the position of his devotee. You want to experience love, you also have to be the subject of love, not just the object of love. And because he wants to propagate that love, but the devotee is the one who has love. So he, when you actually exemplify something, then you can teach it. So to fulfill his mission, the Supreme Lord has to become his own devotee. His topmost devotee. He wants to experience the love of his topmost devotee. And he wants to take the position of a devotee who has love of Godhead, so with realization it can be distributed. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fulfilling the purpose of Krishna's descent. It's such a wonderful lila and story. Because in fulfilling the purpose of God's descent, which is to experience the topmost love, God himself is demonstrating how we can get that topmost love. So we see, we talked about this Raghunuga Bhakti, and the practice of Raghunuga, the whole thing in the Bhakti Sandarbha. So we see in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that philosophy, how you actually practice it. Chanting the holy name. What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He chanted the holy name. And he thirsted for and thought of the mood of love he was hankering for. That's Raghunuga Bhakti. He thirsted for, all nourished by the holy name, he thirsted for and thought of the love for which he was naturally hankering for. So we see that. And we see, and so how was that thirst and thoughts nourished? The thirst and thoughts were nourished by the songs of Surat Damodar and the Katha of Ramanandi Roy. So this is Raghunuga Bhakti. It begins first with the thirst or aspiration, the lobha, the greed, the desire. So we start with that. We realize from reading scriptures like Bhakti Sandarbha that this is the goal. You want to please Krishna, you have to have love for Krishna. And love for Krishna means a relationship with Krishna. Love comes in, love means a relationship. So we come in a particular line, and we beg and we pray to Krishna to reveal to us our eternal relationship, and we do anything for that to happen. We surrender to Guru and we practice Panchanga Bhakti. We want that. And by mercy, that descends. It may descend first in a general way. You're attracted to Mahaprabhu. You're attracted to Vrindavan. You're attracted to Mahaprabhu. You want to serve Mahaprabhu. And serving Mahaprabhu and serving someone means to take their desire in your heart. If you serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his desire for loving Krishna will come into your heart. His mood of Braj Bhakti will come into your heart. Sushrushro Shadadhana Siyavasudeva Katali. No, that's not the verse I want. You know, Sushrushro Shadadhana Siyavasudeva. By serving the great devotees, then you get an affinity. Vasudeva Katalu, you get an attraction to serving Krishna by being with devotees who have that mood. When you're with someone and you become attracted to that person, you become attracted to their thoughts and their desires and their mood, and you become interested. It begins with an interest. An interest, a desire. How nice that is. I want that. So when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read Bhagavatam, we serve Prabhupada's mission, and we have the proper objective in mind, and we develop the desire for that process, then an attraction for Vrindavan, the Krishna, comes into our heart. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sets the example. How do you nourish that? Rupa Lagu Nata Pade Hoi De Akuti Pade Ama Vuje Bose Yugala Priti. Oh when will I get an attraction to the songs of Rupa and Raghunath and at the books of Rupa and Raghunath, and at that time Pade Ama Vuje Bose, then I'll develop this attraction for the love of Radha and Krishna. So this is the book to actually reveal to us everything. And then within the book and in the dialogues, when they have Rupa Goswami reading his poetry, you get all the beautiful verses they wrote to exemplify these sentiments. Nanda Bilal, you drove 2 hours today and 3 hours back. Are you going to be able to stay up? You think so? Okay. You're up now. But will you be able to stay up? If not, then you have to go to bed. So, this is the life. And as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains, his life has two divisions. Adi and Sesha. The first half, the second half. The beginning, the end. Adi up until 24 takes sannyas, and Sesha after he takes sannyas. And after he takes sannyas in the Sesha Lila, it's again divided into Madhya and Antya. Madhya is 6 years where he traveled and preached. Such a nice example of his life. Travels and preaches. Then the last 18 years, he's in Puri. If anyone is available, we have our Puri Yatra, the dates are set. It's really quite living Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the closest thing you can get. And not just me, but if you do it. It's the closest thing. You do the same. You just chant, take Jagannath Prasad, sing Gaur Bhajans. Gauranga Karuna Koro Hina Hina Jane Mosama Patita Kabu. Anyway, something else there. It's So then in the Seisha Lila, this is revealed, we've done this, 6 years preaching, then 6 years really in the Dham, but really giving time to the devotees who would come every year, and then 12 years going deeper and deeper into Nirjan Bhajan with his intimate associates and cultivating and nourishing that Bhav, which is, we wanted the highest type of love. And what is the highest type of love? The highest type of love is in the heart of his topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. At the moment of her high, at the height of her love, which is in her feelings of separation from Krishna. And it becomes an accessible method of practice for us because we are in separation from Krishna. We're in separation. And this is the bhajan. The bhajan is, we want Krishna. If we have any attachment to Krishna, it begins with separation. We want Krishna. Hey Rad, hey Vajadeva Te Chalalide, hey Nandasuno Kutaha. And then the last 12 years. So, when I began to this Chaitanya Charitamrita the last year, I see what kind of work I'm going to have to do to prepare, because I'm just going to keep this up to, it's going to take some real depth of study to actually give these classes properly, because it's not just preparing a verse, I'm going to have to prepare a chapter each time I speak. Because what happens here is very, very interesting. Krishna Das Kaviraj Rasika Bhaktamaj. Krishna Das Kaviraj, he's the topmost, the chief of the Rasika Bhaktas. One who really understands perfected love. And, and therefore can express perfected love. Perfected love is when your sentiment to Krishna is heightened to the highest degree by 5 complementary emotional experiences. Sky Bhav, G Bhav, Anu Bhav, Satvika Bhav, Yabhichari Bhav. And all these emotional experiences, a love which is appropriate and intensified. And he has realization of that and deep understanding of that perfectly. And he can express that. So he's writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he writes the Adi Lila, and this is what we've here is the beginning of the Madhya Lila. When Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami gets to the Madhya Lila, you see the devotees move to service at any platform. If you this is the key to bhakti. Therefore, the warning is when people get to higher subjects of spiritual life, if it's not done in a natural, progressive way, or if it's not done with an authentic, genuine feeling, then it can be done in the mood of self-absorption. I was speaking, the key to bhakti is the change in ahankara, or attitude. And what's the change in attitude? This is why bhakti is so simple, but it deals with a change of heart. It's not a material change. It's not dealing with gyan or your ability to be dispassionate or sankhya, your ability to analyze. It's not dealing in that way. It's dealing with a change in attitude. Now, what ahankara is, this is according to Sankhya. Ahankara is what separates you from God. In other words, we become, you know, our consciousness becomes limited to a particular body, which separates us from God and others. That's why I and mine, these are the two fundamental attitudes of ahankara. I, first there's a conception of the self different from others for the purpose of being the enjoyer. And mine, then there's a conception of possessiveness of things in relationship to that desire. But bhakti means the separation from God, but not from the purpose of enjoyment, for the purpose of service. And in that particular consciousness, one pervades everything one does. And in that particular consciousness, one interacts with the world. One doesn't necessarily have to renounce the world. He interacts with the world in a mood of servant of Krishna. So, anyway, getting back to here, in the, oh yeah, so Krishnadas Kaviraj, in that mood of service to Krishna, in that complete identity as servant, which is the key of spiritual life. When you're a servant, you have a service. And his service is to present the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's completely focused on that. And that particular bhav is the essence of your eternal relationship with Krishna. That's why preaching is not an external activity. Because if it's done in the mood of servant, it's the foundational consciousness of your eternal relationship with Krishna. When your eternal relationship with Krishna awakens, you want to serve Krishna. And you have a particular capacity to do so. So, and when you're a gopi, your service is selfless. When you're a preacher, your service is selfless. Well, you can. So he has a service. And it's completely related to his internal relationship with Krishna. And that is to increase the service of Krishna. Increase the service of Radharani. And the way he has that bhava mood to do so is to explain to the world the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which were kept in notes of a diary by Sarup Damodar's most confidential associate. And then I believe he may have heard it from Raghunath Das Goswami. So he got this mandate. And what is your service? Your service is what Krishna tells you to do. Your service is what Krishna wants you to do. And what Krishna wants you to do is often given through the hearts of the Vaishnavas who know the heart of Krishna. So you said, like Prabhupada gives the example, someone asks for a glass of water and you bring him a glass of milk. That's not service. Service means you do, so this is his service in heart. And he takes up this service and he's at the fag end of his life and he's very old. But he's got this service. And therefore he has a slight apprehension of fear in that mood of service. What if I don't complete what I'm doing? Because I'm so old, I may die at any time. So out of compassion, he starts to give a synopsis. So at least the Leela and pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be there in seed form. So if he dies, perhaps one of the other associates or someone can meditate on those verses and through the heart with that type of seed direction expand it. So for the Madhya Leela, the chapter 1, is just a summary of the Madhya Lila, one verse for each pastime. That's why I'm saying it's difficult. If I read one verse, I have to read the whole pastime. So he does this. And anyway, when we get to the point where we are, we should also understand. So this is Madhya Lila, what we've gone over so far. Up until this Gurditcha, you know, I should say what we've gone through so far. What we've gone through so far is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes sannyas. And when he takes sannyas, he's on his way to Vrindavan. And he's chanting this verse of the Avanti Brahman. I will dedicate myself fully to the service of Krishna. And naturally, when one wants to do that, the tendency is to go to Vrindavan, which is the place that facilitates service to Krishna. So he's on his way there, but somehow Nityananda and Advaita, they bring him back. And they bring him back to Shantipur, and they call Mother Sachi, who's brokenhearted. And then Lord Chaitanya is in a great dilemma. Because he wants to please his mother, and he also has his duties as a sannyasi, and he has an eternal relationship with his mother. Also, it's not just an ordinary thing, it's his eternal mother. And he has that service. And also, the position of mother is very significant. Because I mentioned this also in terms of Vedic psychology, which I'm studying. We discussed this on Sunday, that your nature, your consciousness is like clay. And the experiences make impressions in the clay or the consciousness. And then in it's the chitta, it's material, but it's illumined by the purusha, the soul. And therefore it kind of, the soul senses these experiences in the chitta, and that becomes your nature. And if the impressions are for the, based on the ahankara of being separate from God, for the purpose of sense enjoyment, then one does not see the soul. You cannot see the soul then. The impressions just cover the soul. Chaito dharpana marjana. But when the soul is clear, when the chitta is clear, then all that's reflected in it is the soul. And the soul means the servant of Krishna. So what's reflected in the consciousness is your identity, and the identity of God. That's what you see in the consciousness. So when a child is growing up, his intelligence is not developed. Therefore, he's very impressionable. And therefore, if he's not nourished, loved, and guided, and protected by the mother when he's young, then impressions can come into the consciousness that's caused trauma. One, the mother is not careful to protect. The other thing is, the mother, the intelligence digests the experiences, that they can be appropriately put into the consciousness. It's like if you go through some trauma, but you have intelligence, you can understand karma, you can understand Krishna, you can have faith in Krishna, you can see God, and therefore even the trauma can be placed in the consciousness in a way to give an impression of faith in God. That's the whole verse. You see everything as God's mercy. Anyway, whatever happens, the understanding, without the intelligence, there's no way to accommodate experiences in the consciousness, digest experiences in the consciousness. But because the mother, when the child, until five, the mother is guru, generally. After five, the father becomes guru, generally. So the mother is the first guru. And that's when the impressions, that's when one is most impressionable. So, so mother is highly regarded. And now Lord Chaitanya is with his mother. He's feeling naturally some compassion for her. And then she, he says, whatever you want, I'll do. And then she has so much love for the child that she wants the child with him, her, but she realizes that that will ruin his life. So she's in a dilemma because he'll have to break his dharma. So she says that you can go to Puri, which is close by, we discussed that. And then he goes, and he goes to Ramuna, and then we see, he tells the pastime of Madhavendra Puri, who is the mula, the root of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not the root. The root of the trunk is Madhavendra Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ishvara Puri, Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's coming in line. His Bhav, his spontaneous devotion, comes into the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya through Madhavendra Puri. So we hear about the pure devotional service of Madhavendra Puri. Again, devotion, you know, everyone needs to have the appropriate identity for whatever you do. It's like if you're in a country, there's an identity as a citizen. And therefore, there are heroes in that country, and someone, it doesn't exist anymore, but previously, they're exemplars, and by wanting to be like them, then you develop patriotism. So to develop pure devotional service, so we're going to be introduced to the exemplars, and also in that story, we also see the importance in devotional service of understanding the nature of the deity. Because if you want to develop your eternal relationship with Krishna, generally, one of the main ways it's done is having a deity in the form of the relationship to Krishna, which you are aspiring for. So if you want to worship Krishna as a child, you worship Baal Krishna. If you want to worship Krishna in awe and reverence, you worship Lakshmi Narayan. If you want to worship Krishna in a mood of conjugal love, then you worship Radha and Krishna. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, the deity is very important. And in fact, upon initiation, diksha, which we call second initiation, but it's actually diksha, initiation, which in a particular line, you get Bhagavat Sarup Gyan and Sambandhas Visesh Gyan. You get your specific relationship with Krishna and the Bhagavat Sarup Gyan, the form of God whom you're worshipping. So this comes at initiation and you get a form of God to worship. As we do as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Prabhupada gives us Radha Krishna or Krishna Balaram. You know, you get a form. You get Krishna. We get Krishna in Vrindavan. And sometimes you can get specific relationship, but we definitely get Krishna in Vrindavan. We know our Ishtadev. So we see that, and then he goes to Cuttack, and in Cuttack, he sees the deity of Sakshi Gopal, which is another, in both stories, the deity is, it gives you faith that the deity is Krishna. Very important in the line, and then he enters Puri for the first time. Then the Banganari at that river, Nityananda breaks the, you know, that Lord Chaitanya. He's going into Puri to realize his internal reason for his descent, Krishna's internal reason for his descent, is to achieve and attain beloved his topmost devotee. That's beyond any material designation such as sannyas. Sannyas is vanashram. It's a material designation. It's not your, it's external to the soul. You're not eternally a sannyasi. That's an external designation. And Lord Chaitanya obviously is God. He's at the level of Paramahamsa. There's no external designation. So he breaks the, then he goes, he faints in the temple, he meets Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he converts Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which is very, very significant because he's the topmost smarta Brahmin, impersonal. So we also see in Gaur Lila by the example how bhakti is higher than mukti, how devotion is the topmost realization of the absolute reality. You see this with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya because he becomes converted to such an extent that when there's that verse that Tapenu Kam Kam Susamikshamano, that you can inherit the kingdom of God if you, you know, are you a devotee, and the verse says mukti pad. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya crosses that out and writes bhakti pad. And Lord Chaitanya said, no need. Mukti means bhakti. Goodbye, yata, Hitva yata rupena. Mukti is defined in the Bhagavatam. Srupena is situated in your eternal relationship with Krishna. Because there's no need to change that. I like it better. So he converts Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then we see he's preaching. He delivers the leper and so many things. Then meets Ramananda Roy, which we also get the understanding that bhakti is beyond any material designation. This Ramananda Roy is technically a sudra, and he has the highest realization. And he visits South India. Then Venkata Bhat, we see in that relationship. In other words, his life demonstrates the supremacy of bhakti. Not only bhakti, but madhurya bhakti, kevala bhakti, sri guru charana padma kevala bhakti. Only bhakti means braja bhakti. Yes, worshipping Narayana is also pure bhakti, but it's not kevala bhakti. It's pure bhakti, but there's something else. And that's an obligation or duty to do it because you're dealing with God. The kevala bhakti. And therefore he converts Venkata Bhatta. Then he goes to South India. He defeats the Tattavadis. In other words, even within our line, the Madhvas, he shows the supremacy of, you know, the teachings of Sri, of Madhavendra Puri. And then he winds up back in Puri, and that's where we are. And then in Puri, he's there, he meets with his devotees, and so many pastimes with King Pataparudra and the Kirtans, and anyway, we're going to get into that and try to understand the deep teacher Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Are there any questions? So now I just brought us up to date. I think I finished with text 143 of Madhya Lila. And now let's see if we can go. We'll proceed into Antya Lila and see if the audience, this is like Wednesday night is more advanced class. You have to stay up later. And we'll see if we can do something because we'll get into the Antya Lila. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Gaurangi. Because it's Chaitanya Charitamrita and I'm here. Yes. Hare Krishna, Gail.
Hare Krishna. I don't know if this is so... Well, you talked about Chitta, so I feel like I can ask about Chitta.
You can ask about Chitta, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when it comes to the Chitta, I only understand it in one way in which you refer to it, but not so much in another way. You know, one way in which you refer to it is that, you know, our nature is partly determined by the impressions that our experiences give us. You know, the negative or positive associations to our...
Basically, there are two, attractions and aversions.
Yeah, now that part I'm okay with that, but when it comes to, like you were giving example, maybe it was last week, of Gauranga Prabhu's family, you know, how they have some scarf for cooking, administration, preaching, you know. When you speak of the Chitta in reference to this, then I don't, you know, understand how the Chitta is involved in, for ability.
Okay. Right. Okay, I can understand. It's basically attraction and aversion. Well, it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of like there's an attraction more, for example, for good food. So you actually know what is good and what's not. So the thing is these, all these divisions of the mind, basically. Sometimes the chitta is just described, the whole thing is described as chitta. Sometimes there's divisions. So there's categorization, there's, you know, discrimination, there's identity, there's perception, you know, all these things are within the consciousness. But in terms of that, there's things that people like to do. They like to do administration, you know, and they like to do it, and they're good at it at the same time. And they, you know, and they like to cook, and they like, you know. That's generally your propensity of things that you like to do. You have an attraction to doing it. But obviously, there's many, many different types. It's very, very subtle what kind of impressions are there. But basically, it becomes, I like or not. I like to do administration, I don't. You like to do the things that you're good at. I guess music in the same sense. It's just a more subtle refinement of the impressions. Like, let's say someone, that's why Prabhupada said, you know, when there's a great musician, he's been a musician for many, 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 many lives, because he has these samskaras. He has the impression for attraction to melodies and so many subtle things. And therefore, it generally says, too, that to come to Radhanuga Bhakti, you have to have impressions both from this life and the past. Obviously, you don't have impressions from this life. No matter what, you're not going to take it up. But generally, it says both. You have to cultivate that. So like in this life, we'll cultivate those impressions. But generally, it's also purva. They call it purva samskar, previous impressions. Because the subtle body carries from life to life. So one has a particular nature, and it's the impressions in the consciousness. And then in this life, those impressions can be enhanced or diminished. And it's just so simple. You know, it's just like, let's say, sex desire. One may have strong sex desire. So if he does certain things, right, that keeps him away from the objects or something, or, you know, he focuses with discipline, then that can go down considerably in a short time. And if he indulges in it, it can increase in a short time. So these impressions can become prominent or not by how you associate with them.
Well, you know, because, as you acknowledge, you know, it's not just because you like something you want to be good at it. I'm wondering, you know, what makes a person particularly good at a particular skill, you know? And, you know, like, for example, if you don't like, if you're not good at...
It's just like something. I'll give you an example. Just like Sanskrit. Someone is learning Sanskrit, right? So he's... I guess, yeah, some aptitudes are also there, no doubt. So you're learning Sanskrit. You don't have the propensity to learn it. You know, there's so many... So you're doing it again and again and again and again and again. It creates impressions. I guess there must be aptitude there also. But even in aptitude, there's still attractions and aversions. But there definitely must be aptitude, too. And that aptitude is also there. The skills you learn, like impressions, how to do something, that also gets embedded in the consciousness, no doubt. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Any other buddy like to ask a question?
Swami here. I don't have time for a question. I'm just going off to an engagement. I just wanted to say hi, Krishna, before I go.
Oh, is it Jai Dwayne Kumar?
Relationship.
Oh, hey, bro. Jai. Good. Okay, great. Well, I'm going to see you up in Rehoboth.
Yeah,
and anybody who's on the Jai Dwayne Kumar, Nanda Dulal's here. I'm at the Bhattacharya's this week.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Wonderful.
Yeah, well, I'm learning all the verses of the different preparations in the CC. Yeah, those of you that are on the Sangha, I also put on my website. Anybody who wants to come up the road, if it's a little far after Janmashtami, you know, you can come up for the Vyas Puja if you do. Somehow I'm going to make that. Okay, Marge, Hari Bol, Jai.
Hari Bol,
thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj Kumar from New Mexico.
Kumar, thank you for coming on. I guess there's not much Sangha. In what part of New Mexico are you in?
I'm in the Navajo area, Navajo Nation. Gallup is actually kind of a part of Navajo Nation.
Navajo Nation. Okay. So there's not that much devotees there, huh?
Yes, Maharaj. Not many Indians here. Not many devotees. All we have here, American Indians. I mean, the original natives, those are the only people here.
So I guess it's just like a regular city, but it's within some kind of reservation area. Is that it?
Yeah, that is correct, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I guess that's where you're starting your career, right?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. All right, good. Nice, thank you for coming on. Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna? One more person?
Hare Krishna Maharaj is in Bharati.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
okay.
Krishna.
And we're having a program on the 30th of September at your house. And everyone's welcome to come. Okay.
30th of August, Maharaj.
What's that?
August 30th.
What?
Program is on August 30th.
August 30th. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You've informed everyone?
Not yet, Maharaj. Tomorrow or day after tomorrow.
Okay. Well, tell people because they may make other appointments. Okay?
Sure, Maharaj.
Okay. Do that soon. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, Vanshakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyah Vacha Patitanam Bhavani Vyavaishnavaibhyo.